Sheets and Chuck Pierce. We're going to be in Springfield meeting with the body of Christ at Calvary Church, the new building, June 30th. I don't know the dates yet, but that'll be exciting. Those two have functioned for the last several years across the nation in a real kind of prophetic apostolic anointing for the church. So I think when we get the details of that, we will. Boy, there's just so much. I want to start out by saying, for those of you who have been patiently waiting to see how things are going to unfold with our properties, I'll give you an update on that. Because the story in the shortened version was, we, as most of you know, we prayerfully bought a building on Capitol Street. That building, as the very week that we were getting ready to pull the permits to do the construction, we went to the bank and the bank approved us. And the very week we were pulled permits, somebody approached us and said they'd like to buy it from us. And so we halted that venture, because that venture was what we felt like the Lord was doing something in our midst. So we've been in a holding pattern for the last couple months, waiting to see what happened. And in that time, there's two or three things that transpired. Number one, our realtor became a ghost. And I'll just leave it at that. I don't want to be disparaging. But all of a sudden, we're not getting phone calls returned, and all kinds of things happen. And that started to worry us. And so we also discovered the city had given us some estimates of what it was going to take to do particular work that weren't under the scope of the project originally. In other words, we were going to do a parking lot, but no, below the parking lot, there was a whole bunch of stuff that the city is requiring of anybody who does construction, any new construction on the east side, that it's exorbitant, I'll just say the very least, because the sewers are so outdated in that part of town. Anybody who does anything, they're responsible to the storm drains and the sewers and all that stuff that are normally part of the infrastructure. They're not there, and it would have been incumbent upon us. So we were a little bit taken aback when they said, you know, your estimate for that is about three times more. It's going to be about three times more than what we originally estimated you. And the architects were kind of saying, oops, a little bit to us. So as we just continued to pray, the realtor I chased down. I actually chased down the office because I wouldn't get a hold of him. And they said, hey, we're really sorry, but that guy kind of is just leaving town, going to Florida, and he's supposed to tell everybody, but he didn't. Whoa, here we are. So I'm like, okay, what does that leave us? And he said, I have no idea the status. Somebody was interested in this building. Somebody was interested in that building. And all of a sudden, the guy that was giving us all our information is no longer accessible. So we prayerfully asked if they could help us figure out where the status of these buildings were. And the short story is, from the best we can tell, the two people that were involved in both our properties no longer are. Okay. Now, I'm not going to blame. I really don't know if it's because this guy was not telling us the truth or this guy dropped the ball. All I know is that we no longer have him as our realtor. And we're going to get somebody else, and we're going to sell the properties. So if you want to keep praying, that'd be great. Because in the midst of this, I just believe the Lord has somehow set us up. And I've never been as in peace about detours as I've been in this last season, because I learned a lesson that my wife taught me over the years, that if you have detours, you just are keeping in step with the timing of the Lord. Don't so to speak, get upset that things aren't going as fast as you think they should. And so I've been at peace about this. But in the midst of it, we were looking at another building. Some of you might have been aware that we were looking at a building in Southern View, a church building that was up for sale. And that church building in Southern View, when we started looking at it, somebody else who started looking at it actually said they wanted to buy it. And so our prayer at that time, Dave was with me, I think Sharon was with me, said, Lord, you know how to get us where you want us to be and whatever you need us to do. But this building, you know, if we would have sold the two properties at the time that they were for sale, we could have gotten into that building almost debt-free. I mean, we would have, you know, been close to penning what they were. But all of a sudden, things start to unravel, and you go, okay, what are we going to do? We just gave it to the Lord. That's all we did. We just, I think Ron was here the day that I was, you know, informed that, you know, our realtor was in one form or fashion, you know, skipped out on us. And I was, you know, tempted to be a little upset, to say the least. And, but I just said, you know, and Ron, I said, let's just give this to God right now. Let's not let this fester just moments after this happens. Let's just give this to God. Just in a short period of time, the realtor from the other property called us and said, hey, the people that were buying this can't buy it. They can't get financing. I got the email from Dave. Dave was in contact with him. And it went back on the market at about $25,000 less than what it had been on when it was just there previously. Okay. Now, we're still in the middle of the story, and I'm just going to keep walking, and I'm going to pray that you can keep walking here too with us, because sometimes the road isn't straight. Sometimes it winds a little bit. But it's winding, and it's gone up and down a few times. But if you want to know where the bank is, because this is, you know, when you have a relationship with lending institutions, things can make them nervous. And so Greg did the thing that I think is the right thing. He contacted them and said, hey, the people that were buying our property aren't buying them. We've been keeping in touch. And as you know, what the city has brought back to us and the architects have brought back to us are a whole lot more expensive than what initially they had told us. And so we're just going to sell the building, and we're interested in this property that they're aware of. You know, banks know what's going on. And the bank just responded in a way that I thought was wonderful. They said, we really thank you and prefer you. Most of the time what happens is places get in a project that they can't afford after they've already started it. And it's really a troublesome thing for the bank to say you're 70 or 60 or 80% through with this, and now you don't have the money, and here we are, we're going to tell a church or another institution, too bad, that's all we promised you. And so we're thankful that we would prefer you do it this way. Tell us up front that you're changing your position on that particular building. So they were real favorable. And what we can see, we would be willing right now, just as you stand, to go ahead and loan you the money for the other property if you just wanted to do it right now. So I'm not saying we're going to do any of those things. I'm just saying we have favor with the bank, favor with men, and favor with God is what we always desire. But, you know, we're in a place of now saying, okay, Lord, what we really want to do and what we can pray for together is that the people, somebody approached me Friday and said they wanted to buy one of our buildings. So there's still people looking at him, and they're, you know, I said, how serious are they? They said, I'm very serious. And they were meeting, you know, somebody in her family died, and he said, I got a little thing I got to take care of here, but I'm meeting with the other person that's interested. So there are people very much looking at what we're doing right now, interested. We haven't had a sign out, so it's not like we've advertised it. So the reality of it is God's in control. As long as we give him these things, he'll stay in control of these things, because it's his church, not our church. And ultimately, we're expecting to see things work out wonderfully, because that's what God does. So there you go. Pastor Dale, I wasn't going to do this, but I am. If you and Jan, hi, Pastor Dale and Jan Crawler with us this morning. Would you mind just coming a second? You can say hi, you can, whatever you want to do, but I just want to acknowledge a man who's sown into so many lives here and even in our ministry today, and we're just blessed that you're here, and we're glad you're here and thankful for you today. But he and his wife, why don't you just go ahead and come, Jan, if you wouldn't mind, and they're in a transition, and God's got something for them, and they're seeking it out, and I just want to pray over them and bless them today. And if you guys would join me, and you know, if some of you can sure gather around them today. Father, we just thank you today for Pastor Dale, for Jan, Lord, and God, we know that though the season that they've just come through, Lord, is coming to a close, Lord, you know the end from the beginning, and God, you have something for them. And so today, Lord, we just acknowledge, Lord, that the body of Christ, Lord, is a place, God, that you've destined them, Lord, to connect, to serve, to bless, to sow into, and to empower, Lord. And we acknowledge the gifts upon their life. We acknowledge the ministry, Lord, that they have. And God, but we pray right now for supernatural wisdom, God, for divine direction, Lord, that peace that passes understanding would lead them and guide them, Lord, through the Holy Spirit today, God. And Lord, we just bless them from this house. We're so thankful for them, Lord, and all they do, God, for your church and all they've done for this ministry. But today, God, we just contend together with them for a breakthrough of revelation, Lord, on what this next season has for them, and God, where you would have them and what you would have them doing. So today, God, we trust in you. We call upon your name, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for blessing and ministering to these precious ones today, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You can say hi if you want. That would be great.
Hi. You guys really are family. We love you, and it's just great to be visiting on Father's Day. We took Michelle to our daughter's 19 now, going on 20. Can't believe it. They grow so fast. You with little ones enjoy every hour because they go up so fast. And we were at Kuzai. I don't know if you remember Kuzai. He's incredible. Anyways, he got married last weekend in Carbondale. It was unbelievable. 450 at the wedding. And they ended turning it into a reunion of past Calvary Chi Alpha people in Carbondale. And Ty Lamb came from IHOP, who's the head of all college Luke 18 ministry. And I didn't know he and Kuzai are good buddies. He came to the wedding. He came up to me at the reception, and my daughter was standing there. I met her, and he said, hey, why don't you come to Luke 18 Project next week? I was like, well, how much is he? He said, $900. I thought, well, that's no way. And he goes, I'll give you a scholarship. So I talked to her, and she was interested. We got a hold of him. He gave us half off. We felt it was the Lord. So we drove to St. Louis Friday, and she stayed with some alumni friends of ours who's awesome. And Calvary and Darrell people were coming through to pick her up on the way to IHOP yesterday. So we just hung out for a Father's Day weekend, Friday and Saturday. My wife and I had a great time in St. Louis. And we were driving home yesterday afternoon, getting ready to. And I called Chris. And Chris has been asking me for about 6 months to come and spend time at his house. My wife has never seen his backyard, and she loves stuff like that. And he's been saying all those 6 months, every time I come down here for the international ministry, we'll give you a steak dinner. I'll cook you up some steaks. And so I called and thought, well, we'll see. And he goes, yeah. And I was going to ask him if we could spend the night. And he goes, before I asked, he said, why don't you spend the night? I go, well, okay. So we had a great time at the Hogans. And we wanted to come to church here today. We finished up in Peoria, first weekend of June. God really blessed our ending there. And God's been doing great things. Great to be with you. Love you. I want to say a prayer for you and your building thing. Heavenly Father, I thank you. You've given us faith for buildings. You've given us faith for money. I ask you, Lord, to bless IHOP Church, Lord. And I pray that you will lead Scott, Greg, the elders, the team here exactly in the move you have for them. The financial blessing to just pay for this thing quickly and easily. And your will be done. We agree together in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you guys.
Amen. Amen. Love you too. Thank you. Thank you. One other prayer this morning. You know, I'm shocked, and I think most of you that read the papers, but the amount of violence that's been going on in our city is just, I think, unprecedented, maybe forever in the history of my time here, the last 56 years. But, people senselessly being shot and people, that aren't even involved with stuff, just sort of being retaliated against. And I just think it's the church's responsibility to pray. And so this morning I had a gentleman come in this morning and say one of his very dear loved ones was shot as well. And I'm just thinking, as the church, if nothing else, when we see these things happening, our response is incumbent upon us to just pray. So I'm going to ask you to join with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask, Lord, that your hand of protection would begin to move in a newfound way upon our city. Father, we pray today that you would go to the root, God, of all this violence, Lord, all these senseless murders, Lord, whether it be gangs or drugs or, God, just people enraged because of the state of sinfulness in the human condition. But, God, we're asking that you would intervene in our city. God, that you would comfort those that have suffered loss. Lord, that you would come to those, Lord, that have perpetrated acts of violence, Lord, and reveal yourself to them. And they could repent and be saved. And Lord, but we're asking for future, God, that there would be a breakthrough, God, and a driving back of the darkness, Lord, and a releasing of the light, Lord, that those that were prone to the things of death and destruction, Lord, would find a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ that would touch their lives, Lord, that would change their trajectory, Lord, and though they would be those that were walking in darkness, Lord, they would see a great light. And Father, even throughout the east side of Springfield and the different places where a lot of this is going on, Father, we're praying today for a breakthrough. true. God, a spirit of revival, God, that would come and that would make the wrong things right, Lord, that would restore and build up the torn down and the broken places. And Father God, there would be a message come forth from our city, Lord, of a great message of repentance, a great message of new life, a great message of redemption, Father. And we pray and we ask and we thank you for it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, that's our responsibility to pray for our city. Well, good morning again. Thank you for being here on Father's Day. Thank you for your prayers, continued prayers for us as we continue to walk out our new place in life. You know, I don't, if you're wondering whether or not, you know, because it's kind of one of those things in the room since my son has died, to go, hey, it's Father's Day, how you doing? And I'm doing okay. Okay, because of the grace of God, I'm doing okay, and you know, I he's good, and every week it's a challenge, and not all the challenges are met with equal intensity, but every one of them is met through the grace of God, and so we continue to walk out what it is, knowing that we're going to see him again, and somebody told me it might be sooner than later this week. And if you haven't seen it, I just want to encourage you. Dave's laughing because I had a meeting with Marge. But, you know, my cousin was here last week, and David had sent me an email a while back. I can't remember the guy's name, but he was a really smart guy, theologian. What is his name, David? Or the email that you sent me, the YouTube guy, what was his name? You don't remember either? Okay, that's... No, it wasn't Chuck Missler. Yeah, something real long, okay. But the picture was of the signs of the times, and right now a constellation called Virgo, that is, if you will, going to have some planetary alignments and some celestial happenings that have never happened in an unprecedented way. And this guy, just as a theologian, was saying this could be the revelation a sign of revelation in the sky of the constellation Virgo, the Virgin giving birth, and literally this cosmic alignment. Many are interpreting as the sign of the end, as one of the beginning of the end signs. And if you haven't seen it, you could probably YouTube it and, you know, look for it. But I saw it was very intriguing. I'm not going to say. And the guy was not a nutcase. You know, I've seen enough nutcases over the years to go, there's a lot of people that predict in the end. But I thought, you know, it really isn't that hard to even fathom when you look at the condition of humanity in this day and age, that it could be a lot sooner than we think. I mean, most of us, I just promise you, most of us will probably be surprised when the end happenings begin to really escalate, when the great harvest is near, when the great falling away is upon us, when the signs in the heavens testify, and when the earth, so to speak, begins to rumble, because there's a groan of creation, there's a groan of God's heart for men, there's a groan of the enemy knowing that his time is short, there's a lot of groaning going on, and things begin to shake, and ultimately there's only one possible way to be aligned and prepared and be ready for what's about to, because I haven't met anybody yet, and I'll just say, maybe the smartest guy in the room, maybe Pastor Dale might be that guy, or maybe Kevin or Dave, but I don't know who it is, but nobody is fully and completely aware of how it's all going to happen. Everybody's going to be surprised about something. Joel, I didn't include you, but you're also a smart guy, okay? I'll just put you in there too. So everybody's smart, but I just, the point is, and the only possible way not to get disrupted by whatever it is that's going to happen is to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. He's our guide. He's our teacher. And so this series that we've been talking about, I'm out of John chapter 7, when Jesus says, and verse 38, whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. And in verse 39, John says, and by this he meant the Spirit, or the Holy Spirit, who those believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. John was looking retrospectively, but we've been looking at these verses, because Jesus is standing up in the middle of the highest feast of the year, saying, whoever's thirsty, come to me and drink. And we've done this probably 6 or 7 weeks in a row now, talked about these things. But the reality of Jesus knowing that he made the church to have a flowing heart, and that That's what a disciple looks like. Jesus is the man with the ultimate flowing heart, and his disciples were meant to flow like a river as well. He's saying, whoever is thirsty, come to me and drink. And out of the innermost being, there's going to be, and the literal translation is floods gushing forth. And we look around at ourselves. Let's look in the mirror. Let's not even judge anybody. Let's look in the mirror and go, hey, I'm not really gushing. I dribble a little. Once in a while I splash. But this torrent of water gushing from within me is not something that I'm used to seeing. And most everybody would probably say, yeah. And so the acknowledgement of what we see in our experience and what we see in the scripture, we have to come to terms with it. So we've been looking at what some of the keys to having a gushing, flowing heart are. And what it is to say, this is a work of the Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is not a magician who just sort of decides he's going to cause this one, boo, to gush, and this one, boo, to gush, and this one, just going to trickle, and this one over here, you know, they're going to flow so-so. There really is a partnering with God in the place of relationship that is what causes our hearts to flow. And I shared there's four attitudes because the scripture says that when you believe as the scripture says, that's one of the keys. It's not when you believe, as the scripture says, rivers of living water will flow. It's who believes as the scripture says. And the four heart postures of saying, I'm gonna go to the word with a spirit of dedication, taking it for what it means and obey it. I'm gonna go to the word with a spirit of devotion, with an I love you in my spirit. I'm gonna go to the word with a servant, humble heart, saying, I'm gonna extend myself for others. I'm going to give what I have, no matter how little it might seem. What I have is not meant to be just consumed on myself. And then we approach the word and this walk and these three things with a spirit of grace that says, I'm not going to do this perfectly, but no matter how many times I might fail, I'm going to keep doing it. I'm not going to say, because it didn't work out, I need to just maybe back off from my stance a little bit. No, just a spirit of grace saying, do-overs, 70 times 7, you know, whatever it takes, God, I'm going to trust you and I believe you. So that's one of the ways that we keep our heart flowing, is to know what grace is. And I can tell you, the lack of grace is where you see people dry up and embittered or despondent or hopeless because they thought that they were going to get it the first 100 times they tried. And on 101, it was done. You know, well, just not meant for me. And that's just not the way God works. Because sometimes you get it, there are certain things that happens and you go, man, that victory. And we're to build upon our victories, but I've known people who what was an easy victory for one was something that they struggled with for another. And you go, what is that? Look, that's part of the human condition, but that's the uniqueness of each and every one of our struggle, that we personally have a walk with the Lord that nobody can walk for us. And we personally have battles that nobody else can fight for us. The Holy Spirit fights for us, but we have to partner with the Holy Spirit. It's really what it boils down to. You know, I can tell you over the last 6 months, my personal battle hasn't been, I was able to get up every day and be super spiritual, you know, and I could pray in tongues for an hour and I could get in the word. Some days I couldn't do any of that. And the Holy Spirit just carried me to the next one. He just carried me to the next one. But I didn't say on the next one, well, because I couldn't yesterday, I can't today. I did what he empowered, what I was able to do in that day. I did my best for that moment. And I watched each day that God was and is carrying and walking each of us through these situations that at times seem insurmountable, seem impossible. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So John, looking at the Holy Spirit, that's why, you know, it wasn't until he lived what I consider probably several years, probably decades, as a disciple and as a minister of Christ and walking through a lot of things. If you read John's life, I mean, you know, he wrote most of what he wrote in prison on an island, at least the book of Revelation, but there's probably a lot of things that he wrote from jail or in under persecution. And so, you know, his perspective of Jesus was saying your heart will flow, which he was talking about the Holy Spirit. He was with all the other disciples in the moment probably saying, what is he talking about? It wasn't until afterwards that, he was talking about the Holy Spirit. And this idea that the Holy Spirit is given to us only when we get saved is what I was basically kind of ending with last week, that the idea when Jesus came to his disciples, breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit, in the end of the book of John, he then was meeting with them in the book of Acts and said, wait here in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He acknowledged there were two different encounters with the Holy Spirit. One was an initial salvation, redemption, and one was an infilling that Jesus himself described as till you're endued with power to be my witnesses. And the ability to be a witness isn't simply to share Jesus in an articulate manner. It's actually to possess the fruit of the Spirit internally. That, you know, the last thing Christians need to exhibit for the world is to say, I'm depressed, don't you want to be like me? I'm a Christian, I don't have any fun. You want to join? You know, it's on the face of people whether or not their life is actually fulfilling. It's in their attitude and how they live, whether or not whatever it is they're doing in life is working or not. I don't say this because I've been one, but depressed Christians are not the people that I want to identify with, okay? That's not my clan. I believe the joy of the Lord is our strength. I believe the fruit of the Spirit is accessible to everybody. And I believe the indwelling Holy Spirit is one of the most absolute necessary things for us to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. I have prayed myself happy more times than I can tell you. Starting out with nothing other than God, I don't even have words, so I'm going to pray in tongues. And in a very short period of time, the joy of the Lord, the peace of God, really the patience, whatever it is, God knows what I need, and that's why praying in the Spirit, I didn't know how to even say it. But God did, and I go, oh man, I'm so thankful for the gift of the Holy Spirit. But these two distinct encounters, if you will, that Jesus desired to experience, or for us to experience, we'll just look at Acts 1 real quick, because this is where he says, in Acts 1, I think verse 4, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Do you remember when John actually talked about, when they asked him if he was the Messiah, and he says no, but there's one coming, and he'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire, okay? I think it's just important to see, because when these guys got baptized with the Holy Spirit, tongues of fire came upon their head. Now, everybody that gets baptized in the Holy Spirit, even in the book of Acts, didn't have fire come. But I think the associating the fire of God with the Spirit of God is really important. Why? Because my personal experience and those that I've talked to over the years, there's something fiery that happens to a person who says, I'm receiving this additional experience. I'll just say it because if you're going to wonder, it is optional, okay? There's a whole lot of Christians that opt out of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Either their theology doesn't allow them to go there, or it's too mysterious. I spoke last week. The Holy Spirit is the greatest disruptor and troublemaker in the church that there's ever been. He really is, because we like to accept the things we understand. We understand, even though we don't understand, we understand certain things. Like, we have to understand, not particularly sure how a virgin had a baby, but I can almost get myself around that. But somehow, when it translates over to fire coming upon someone's head, okay, and now they're speaking in a language they've never heard before. Great, that's great for them, but it's available to you now. Do you want it? Deer in headlights, I don't know, that's too weird. I was following you right up to it happened to somebody in a church 2,000 years ago, but you're telling me it can happen right now to me. And then we go right into the idea of, let me figure this out and see, and let me calculate whether or not I want to do these things. And it's like, that's the pit of logic and reason that a great number, I mean, if you want to split a room of Christians up fast or anything, just walk in there and say, hey, who wants to pray in tongues with me? Okay, that just, you know, the seas will part, like the Red Sea, okay? Why? It's controversial because it's supernatural. And it's controversial because it's hard to understand for the natural mind. And scripture tells us very clearly that spiritual things cannot be discerned by a carnal mind because they're spiritually discerned. It's an act of faith, and the church, by and large, is not really good at acting in faith. They're really good at holding bazaars and bake sales and you know, feeding somebody. The things that I can do that make sense, that are easy to do with my natural mind, I'm all in. But something supernatural, can we just not talk about that because it's too weird? See, the problem is the church that Jesus is coming back for is a church that is walking in the power of the Spirit. The body of Christ resembles Jesus to the degree that they give themselves to the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave himself to the Holy Spirit, was led out into the desert for 40 days, was challenged and tempted at every point, was completely weak in the flesh, but built up in the Spirit and returned from the desert in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that picture is what we're going to see. The church is going to, if you will, they're going to have no other answer. We have to turn to God. We've held our meetings, we've built our buildings, we've preached our messages, and nothing is changing. What must we do? And God's saying, it's been here all along. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Drink of this. And I say the person of the Holy Spirit, because many have relegated to the Holy Spirit to an essence or to an it instead of a him. And there was this, I think it was called the Arian heresy. You may not have heard about it, but it acknowledged as God was the single God, the Father, and the Son was created, and the Spirit was just sort of a thing. And whether we know it or not, that's just the natural bent of the human mind outside of enlightenment from the Spirit of God. We can say God the Father and the Son somehow is in there and the Spirit wouldn't even know. So if you look at the influence and the reason why the Holy Spirit is such a troublemaker, it's because we resist him. Our mind is not able to perceive an invisible person living on the inside of us, let alone empowering us to do supernatural works, the first of which, and what's one place called a least gift, speaking a language that we've never heard before. I mean, this, and so when we get to that place of going, what do we do here? Again, a lot of people just check out and go, look, I'm saved. That's all I need. But Jesus, the very last thing, the last encounter he had with humanity in the book of Acts before he was taken up and not seen except in, you know, some special instances, but as he was meeting with a group of people, was wait to receive this Spirit, receive the power to be my witnesses. To be my witnesses, have internal empowerment and have external empowerment to see signs, wonders, miracles, things that I do that you'll be able to do under the influence of this Spirit. See, that's the real picture is, if you drink, you won't be caught by what you think. But if you don't drink, the highest empowerment you have is what you can think. And I'm not saying check your brains at the door. I'm simply saying there are certain things, the only possible way you're going to see them operate in your life is by faith, period. Not by figuring them out. And we have become, in our civilization, in our education, so much exalting of those things that we can think about, that the last thing, it's ridiculous and presumptuous just to, by faith, expect God to do something as strange as empower a person who doesn't know any foreign languages to speak a language they've never heard before. Now, that's just one thing, because the Holy Spirit, if you recall, in one case, the thing is Acts in chapter 19, it's in my notes somewhere if you want to know where. I kind of left them a little while ago. But the Holy Spirit came upon a group of people. Paul approaches, I think it's in Samaria. It might have been somewhere else, but it's in one of the cities, and I'll tell you where if you really want to know. He says, have you received the Spirit since you believed? And they say, no, we were baptized in Jesus, but we haven't received the Spirit. And I said, okay, so Paul laid his hands on them and prayed for them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began to speak in tongues and prophesy. Now, a lot of times, many people just look over that and go, they speak in tongues and prophesy. That's kind of one thing. But it's really not. It's two different things. Now, my point today isn't to try to talk anybody into receiving the Holy Spirit. My point today is to say, what are you going to do with what Scripture says about people who call Jesus their Lord? People who say, I want whatever God has, And he says, this should be a normal function of people. I mean, it was elementary to Paul when he met these believers in the 19th chapter of Acts to say, well, the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And two things right off the bat, initial, kindergarten, Christianity 101, they pray in tongues and they prophesy. I can tell you the majority of Christian assemblies would consider that something periphery or only the elite should even be involved in. And it doesn't happen to everybody, and they become what we call fatalists, spiritual fatalists. This is the Christian sacred cow to those who say, I want to believe, but I don't have. Well, if God wants to get it to me, he knows where I'm at. Well, if God wants to get it to me, I'll take it. But until then, I don't really need it. Well, let me just say, you're right, you don't. Because Scripture is very clear that those that seek him with all their heart find him. And you've just said you're not seeking him. Because Paul does say, and we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Well, let's just turn there since we're there. Not really, but we're going to go there. 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says about spiritual things. Come on. Don't be ignorant. I wasn't really leading that. I want my tablet to catch up with where I was. It's not keeping up with me today either. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. It actually, the translation doesn't even say gifts. It says about spirituals. I don't want you to be ignorant. Okay, he's writing a church, and he's saying, as an elementary thing, the operation of the Holy Spirit should be present in those who name the name of Jesus. Paul comes to these believers, and as soon as he says they've believed but they haven't received the Holy Spirit, he prays for them. They pray in tongues, and they prophesy. And now Paul's talking to the Corinthian church, and he goes down a list after he says about spirituals. I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to be uninformed. He says, when you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Okay, in other words, you used to not, you were a Gentile, you were a heathen. You didn't believe in spiritual things, and the dumb things you did proved it. The things that you served and followed after. But I want to make known to you some things. Number one, anybody who says they're a Christian and curses Jesus isn't a Christian. And anybody who authentically says Jesus is Lord has been touched by the Spirit of God. God empowered them to do that. And then he goes down a list in verse 4 through about 10. And he says, these are the gifts. He says, there's a diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. Different ministries, but the same Lord. And a diversity of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is giving to each one for the profit of all. I'm just going to stop right there. According to what I read, and I don't know what your translation says, but I've looked at it in the Greek. He's saying, every Christian, each one, should have an identifiable manifestation, supernatural Holy Spirit power working through them. That's a big deal to me, because the person that has supernatural gifts is the guy that's leading the conference. You know, the person that has a supernatural gift is the one that we, you know, that's on television, and you know, we're all waited on the edge of our chair with bated breath to see, you know, what the next thing he's going to prophesy is. But according to Paul, and according to this, you and I don't know which one, but I know that all of us are meant to have a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Now, some have read, I did in the past when I looked at this before, you know, I can say I was enlightened, but I don't want to think I'm smart. I'm just saying, as I've watched over the years, what happens is it's not this one guy has one manifestation and this girl has one manifestation and this guy has one manifestation. What I actually think is when you're drinking, when you're drawing near, when you're seeking God and saying, I want to flow like a river, and you're aligning yourself, whatever the need be in the moment, the Holy Spirit can use you in multiple ways. See, because again, just the human nature, the way we approach things, we'll go, well, you know, I'm a gift of interpreting tongues, so that's all I can do. So if you don't have that, I'll just wait. But if you've got a tongue, I'll interpret it for you. Well, guess what? Right now, we need a miracle. What I got to do? Wait for the one? Or do I expect that the Holy Spirit is able to use the yielded vessel present who's been drinking from the Holy Spirit to address the human need right there. What's the point? The point is God is all about exalting Jesus. The Father is all about touching people's lives with his power and his love. Our position isn't to wait for somebody else who's more gifted or more qualified. Our position is to be drinking constantly, asking continuously, expecting fearlessly that whatever the situation is, he's going to present to us an opportunity to glorify him if we believe that we can be used. See, that's where it stops in most cases. Because I can believe better about you than I can about me. I can expect God to do more through you than I can through me. Why? Because I'm aware. You haven't seen behind closed doors my struggles. And the reality is, that's the voice of the accuser telling you that somehow your sin, your struggle, your weakness, your nemesis, whatever it is that keeps you from knowing that you're absolutely perfect, is somehow greater than the blood of Jesus and the indwelling spirit. That is the great equalizer and the great empower. Now, I wanted to get to verse 12 and 13, because it says in verse 12, "For as the body is one and has many members, all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink of," or just drink, "one spirit," or one translation says drink into one spirit. But the drinking of the spirit, again, God's placement of certain comments cannot be diminished. He starts this little, the first part of this chapter with about spiritual things. I don't want you to be ignorant. He lists all the things, gifts and operations, and I don't think it all. There's more than those. Those are just the ones that he highlighted. This is what to expect if the Holy Spirit has been welcomed into your midst. This is what to expect if you're fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. And again, I'm not trying to bring condemnation. I'm pointing, if I'm saying in my life I should see more operations of signs and wonders, of miracles, gifts of words of wisdom, gifts of knowledge, healings, the things that are there to encourage and empower us to say, this is who God is, this is what he does, and he does it through us. But he says, I don't want you to be ignorant, he lists the things that the Spirit should be responsibly doing through us, and then he says, we're all equal. There's no Jews and there's no Greeks. There's no slaves and there's no free. You have to understand, the culturally speaking, to say there's no slave and free is to say from the highest to the lowest, none of that exists anymore. From those that we consider the most, culturally speaking, the best and the worst, there's no difference anymore. Because through Christ, we're one body. We're connected. We can't separate because we're different. But when we do, we hinder the flow of the Spirit. We are not to decide who we will and won't connect with. We allow God to connect us. But ultimately, he says, because we've been given something, we've been given a spirit to drink. Of all the wording he could have possibly used, drink. Man, when I looked that up, I came unglued. Because in this little section, that word, we were given the same spirit to drink. The Greek word is potizo, P-O-T-I-Z-O. It says to give to drink was the first one. Number two, to water. And number three, the metaphoric and probably the most applicable, to imbue or to saturate one's mind. Because I didn't know what imbue meant either, I looked it up. This is the part that really got me. To impregnate or inspire. You've been imbued with the Holy Spirit through a drinking. The dreams, the desires, the visions, the purposes of holy and high origin are intended to impregnate you. Saturate your soul as you drink. The very same word drink means to be impregnated by. When you look at that imbued, when you look at that in light of who the Holy Spirit is, who made Mary pregnant? that which she was destined to give birth to came by a yielding to the Spirit of God, as you, according to your word, let it be unto me. And I believe there is a revival and a rekindling and a resurgence, if you will, of radical, reckless surrender to God in the place of drinking of the Holy Spirit that needs to be looked at, re-entered into in the church. We become way too dignified, way too satisfied, way too okay on coast. When there's a whole bunch of things that the Spirit says we're supposed to be doing, there's a whole bunch of people out there that needs to see that demonstration manifest, and there's a real simple roadmap to getting it done. Drinking of the Spirit, hearing what He says, and obeying it. Now, I just think the soul of a man that's impregnated and inspired by God, he'll have that to whatever degree that he exposes himself and ingests and drinks of the Holy Spirit. I don't always want to be inspired by what somebody else who's really cool writes. Okay? I don't always want to be inspired by what the spiritual person that I'm following this quote of the day is on Facebook. Okay? I'm warning that many of us start doing that without even recognizing that we're allowing the Holy Spirit to only speak to us through somebody else's encounter. And I'm all for, I've been spoken through other people's encounters multiple times. But I'm telling you, the highest encounter God has for you is your personal encounter. And before I turn on my Facebook, before I go to my devotional, before I look to the anointed Sharon McDonald, she's one of my friends, to be inspired, the Holy Spirit is saying, I'm able to impregnate you right now with vision, with hope, with expectancy, with supernatural desires that can only be met by my supernatural Spirit. The disconnection, beloved, is in here. That's the point. Whatever degree that God has limited in our life, it's not limited by God. It's limited by us. And I'm ready to say, well, we can just look at this and say it's a nice topic. Gifts are operating in the church, and they're just not operating in me. And I'll just hope to do better, or we can shift. Or this is like anytime we change our mind, it's hard. But you just begin to go, all around me, God, make me aware of what it would be like if that person encountered Jesus. All around me, God, make me aware of what the situation would look like differently if you were to touch it right now. Because as your awareness is heightened, as your sensitivity is increased, the logical end to that is, you put me here because I'm your agent of change for this moment. You put me here because I'm the catalyst that this situation needs. And at first, I can tell you, I've been in seasons where I was able to do this much better than others, because my life, maybe yours as well, has some ebbs and flows to it. It's probably just, my imperfections. I've never traveled on a straight trajectory. I'm usually doing this. Or there's seasons where every time I turn around, there's somebody I can pray for and have a prophetic word for and touch and see healed, and I'm going, this is awesome. And other times I go, look, man, I'm sorry. I hope a Christian comes along to help you, because I can't. There's just moments where you're feeling that way. Sometimes you step out in faith anyway. But I'm telling you that we have to acknowledge that God's word says this is what the church is supposed to look like. We're His church, and it's up to us to receive the power that Jesus promised to be who He called us to be and do what He called us to do. And when we get in that moment where we're going, man, right now that man could use a touch from God, and we go, and I got nothing. And even in that moment we go, look, I'm sorry, I got nothing, but I ain't going to tell you I got nothing. Jesus loves you. He pointed you out to me. Would you mind if I pray for you? You'd be surprised, just that little step of faith, how God shows up in a mighty way. If the worst case scenario happens, you go, man, I know God was telling me to drink this morning, but instead I stayed in bed later and I chugged a pot of coffee on the way out the door, and I just totally feel like I can't help this guy at all, and he needs help. Just look at him. But tomorrow I'm going to get up and respond to that Holy Spirit, because I'm going to see that guy again tomorrow, and I'm not going to miss a good opportunity to tell him what God says about him. Either way, there's moments where you're going to, like I said, there's moments where you're going to be wishing you could and you can't. And I'm not saying God won't show up, but He will. But you know what I mean. You just go, man, I should have, I could have let that work, but you go, you know what, God, I'm not going to. What happened is I was serving me instead of you. What happened, God, is my flesh went out over my spirit, and when the draw on the spirit was there, I didn't have confidence in you because I had my eyes on me instead of you. But I'm telling you, we've got to start somewhere. There's got to be I see it, and though I don't understand it, I'm going to receive it and believe it. Because ultimately we have to ask, do we each one, just like the scripture says there, it says to each one is given, for the spirit is given for the profit of all, do we each one have a supernatural manifestation operating in our lives? I believe that God is stirring his church. There'll be, you know, because they're talking about a great falling away and a great dividing, and they're talking, I mean, if you want to talk about prophetic scriptures, talk about the end times. There's going to be a church in the earth that is completely and totally have a form of godliness but deny the power of God. They're going to say all the right things and have no power of God present. And there's going to be a people who are going to be marginalized, and they're going to be criticized, and they're going to be called fanaticized, but ultimately, they're going to know who Jesus is, and they're going to know their God, and they're going to be strong and do exploits. It's not going to be like, hey, everybody gets in and we all get to. No, it won't be. I'm sorry. Why? Because from the beginning of time, there's always been someone who knows how to say the right things as a counterfeit to rob as many from the authentic who actually can demonstrate those things. And within the church today, there's incredible battles, incredible fights over something as simple as whether or not Scripture says that people ought to be empowered with the Holy Spirit in a supernatural way beyond salvation with the manifestation of a prayer language. Now, I'm not going to get to it today. I thought I might, but I'm not. We're going to talk specifically more about that later. But I'm going to give you just a real quick example. You do in the world today, there's hardly any place you can go where you can't be touched by a 24-hour news cycle. Okay? No one now, you can find out what the weather's going to be in 5 minutes from now, in minutes on your phone. You can ask, you can find out how Donald Trump is doing. You can find out how, and we're going to pray for Matt Hughes, one of the a local UFC fighter who was a legendary. He was undefeated as a wrestler in Hillsboro for years, and he was hit by a train this weekend. He's in the hospital at St. John's, and he was in critical condition, had some head trauma. But it was one of the guys that I followed for years because I like that stuff. But the reality of it was there is, you name the news, and you can find it out within minutes. Okay, but the problem is you can't filter. You don't know what the source is and what their perspective is on how they're delivering that news to you. Okay, because I was in a meeting not too long ago, and one gentleman said, I only listen to, and he filled in the three letters. Doesn't matter what ABC, CNN, Fox, it doesn't matter what, I only listen to them. And the other person sitting at the table, being of a different denomination, persuasion, whatever, going, I would never trust or listen to them. I only listen to. Why? Because they tell me the things that I want to hear the way I want to hear them. Okay? Now, some of you may be going, I don't listen to anything. Well, I'm telling you, escapism doesn't work in this scenario, okay? Because the truth of the matter is the Holy Spirit is broadcasting. And you may have been influenced. I don't care if you're a Pentecostal. I don't care if you're a Baptist. I don't care if you're an Assembly of God. I don't care if you're a Methodist. The reality of it is the way that you believe, the way I believe, can be influenced by somebody who wasn't fully inspired or enlightened by the Holy Spirit. So I don't want to trust only that Blaine's telling me the truth the way, because guess what? He's been influenced by Rod and Jacqueline, who've been influenced by someone else. There might be a way that he tells it that doesn't fully and completely give me what I really need to know. Again, just as an example. So when it comes to your acknowledgement, your drinking, your believing, your trusting what the Holy Spirit says, I believe there's two things to test for sure. What does the scripture say? That's got to be it. And What does the Holy Spirit speak to your heart when you look at that scripture? See, I've been provoked by God more in that regard than any other way. I look at it. That's how this, I'm looking at these scriptures going, the Holy Spirit says each one's going to have a manifestation. I'm going, why don't I? Why don't I? Why don't I? And as I look at it, he's no respecter of person. He's not holding back. There's some exterior qualification that I have that he doesn't have. All of a sudden, I'm realizing we're all qualified in Christ. So that, like Paul says in verse 1, let's don't be ignorant. Let's acknowledge our eligibility. Let us accept and be in faith at his word. And let us drink deeply and listen closely. And if we've got to pursue it again, let us lean into, you know, one of the things I would love to do, and I'll just ask right now, okay, if I were to say to you, and just show of hands or whatever, if I were to say to you, go home and drink. Drink deeply of the Spirit. What does it look like to you? Anybody? Getting his word? Okay. I'm sorry, Jan. Use your prayer language. That's one of the main things. Listen. See, the reality of it is, it's not any one, but it's all and. See, I would say to Jacqueline, if get in the word how you drink, I'm going to recommend a new drink. Put his word down and ask the Holy Spirit to bring his word to remembrance. Okay? All right. If Jan says the way I do it is I pray in tongues, I would say, you know, pray in tongues for all, but then stop and say, God, show me how else. Why? Because the fullness of man's faculties aren't utilized in just one way. And I believe that part of what God's doing in this hour, I mean, what if, like many people in the other sides of the earth, don't have a Bible? Does that mean they can't drink? What if they've not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit yet? Does that mean they can't drink? I believe there's ways that we can drink. I love praying in the Spirit. There's times where just an hour of praying in tongues is just, it's invigorating to my heart. But there's times where I don't have an hour. But I can just stop, and this is one of my favorite ways, and go, God, just breathe you in. I just drink deeply. I just open my spirit right now. Is that weird, Mr.? Well, it is. I'm not lying. I'm not going to say that's normal. No, it's weird to say the invisible Holy Spirit now. I open up my spirit and I just say, God, I suck you in. I draw upon you. I drink. I engulf. I imbue. I saturate my soul with the fact that the Holy Spirit right now is near me, and I just receive you. I just open up my heart right now. That's just another way to do it. But my point is, drink a lot. Drink many different ways. I think one of the things that we're going to do, and drink often, because the Holy Spirit is supposed to make us do something. The Holy Spirit came on them. They prayed, they spoke in tongues, and they prophesied. The beginning of this study, what I said, I believe God is raising up us as a prophetic body, that we prophesy as part of our DNA. I think Scripture bears out that he's fine with that. I believe today we have an opportunity to say, okay, God, I want to see how else, what else. And then who knows what God will lead you. I'll be listening for the stories. I'll be waiting to hear how in a normal day-to-day situation the Holy Spirit flowed through you, out of you. You know, because it's not going to be just a bunch of old geezers either, okay? It's not just me and Dave and Joel. Thank you. I just geezered up on it. I just gave them the geezer card. I mean, if you look at the workings of the Holy Spirit in the Bible, in the book of Acts, if you look at the disciples, the apostles, these guys were all 20-somethings. 30-something, 20-something. These are young people who didn't have a theological degree. They've just been with Jesus, and you have the same access, even more so. Why else would Jesus said, it's better for you that I go away, because the Holy Spirit will come. We're in the process of saying yes to the Holy Spirit in a more deliberate way. And I hope you're picking up what I'm throwing down here. Okay, it isn't going to go away. We're gonna be people who drink deeply and who prophesy. We're going to be people who drink deeply and who manifest the Holy Spirit in real ways. We're going to be people who expect God to show up because we're pressing into him, not just fatalistic, going, well, he can if he wants, but if they're not, we'll just have a service without him. We don't care. We do care. Too many people say we have a performance to get along with, whether God shows up or not. And we can't get into that mode. Let's pray. And Father, we love you. And God, as weak and broken as this vessel is, God, I pray today that, Lord, there was some truth, God, that can be grasped onto. Lord, there's some invitation that can be received. Lord, that the outflow of the Spirit in each of our lives, Father, would be something that we could literally visualize. We could envision the fact, Lord, that you made us each to be a fountain. You made us each to be a flowing river. Lord, you've made each of us to manifest your Holy Spirit in different ways. God, today we come to you and we say we need your Holy Spirit. God, let us not think that we can do life without an increased manifestation of your Holy Spirit. Let us not think, Lord, that we can flow, that we can move, that we can give, that we can serve void, Lord, of a relationship of drinking deeply of your Spirit. God, I just repent right now of doing that myself, of thinking somehow, God, your Spirit was optional in my life to fulfill my purpose. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that each of us, God, would have a renewed hunger. God, that each of us would have a restored expectancy of being salt and light, but also being those, God, according to your word, who lay hands on the sick and they recover. Lord, who if they touch any deadly thing, drink of any poison, Lord, they'll not be hurt. Lord, that when they are confronted by demonic powers, Lord, they cast out devils. Lord, that's not a different day or a different time. Lord, that this is today and it's this time. Lord, that we would be the light of the world that you called us to be, because we burn with your Spirit. Father, we thank you. Praise you. In Jesus' name. This morning, I just want to make an invitation to you. If you're a believer here, if you're not a Christian and you want to become a Christian, you want to give your life to the Lord, you can come forward and I'll pray for you this morning. But if you're here this morning and you said, I've never ever had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I've never received this fire, I've never prayed in tongues before, and you want to, I want you to come forward. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to tell you it's not weird, because it is weird to pray in a language you've never heard before, but it's God helping you do it because it's his power that works in us. Just want to give you that invitation. I'm going to talk more about it again next week because I didn't fully get to it this week. But if you're stirred, as you heard me say, hey, I want to have that, and this morning I would invite you to receive that. And then this morning, if you desire just to be prayed for, you say, no, my heart needs prayer. I need, you know, something is touching me, something's stirring in me, something's causing me to be unsettled. There's a stirring. I'm telling you, that's the Holy Spirit saying, I want to encounter you in a fresh new way. This morning I just want to invite you. Just come forward, we'll pray for you as well. So, you know, if you, thank you, Father. Turn those fluorescents off, if you would. They're quenching the spirit. I'm just kidding, but I don't like them on. Jesus, we love you.